The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
St. Patrick's Day, and good afternoon to you. While the NCAA basketball tournament going on, we'll update you. But there hasn't really been much to update this afternoon. It's been a fairly desultory day. Kentucky playing in 2 hours. Let's get before we get back to the calls in a few minutes. Let's talk about some spring football. Max Olson joining us from The Athletic. Always great to say hello to Max. Thank you very much for the time. I know you've been doing a lot of things, but a deep dive into some of the battles that we will all be seeing during the spring. Max, thanks for the time. Appreciate it very, very much. We'll also talk about some college football alignment. Good afternoon. Tell us, and I think some of them are pretty self-explanatory with Ohio State, Georgia, and Alabama, but give us the lay of the land on that front.
Paul, thanks a lot. You know, I think it's shaping up to be a pretty interesting spring at a bunch of big programs in terms of just the quarterback vacancies you have, and a lot of them are obvious, right? Like you've got Carson Beck trying to succeed Stetson Bennett at Georgia and having to hold off Brock Vandegrift and Gunnar Stockton. At Alabama, obviously, Tommy Rees comes into a situation where he's got to make a decision on Jaden Milroe or Ty Simpson, and obviously they have two freshmen coming in there too, and so it's sort of like what direction do they go in offensively between those two guys. Ole Miss has, you know, on paper a super interesting one with Jackson Dart, Spencer Sanders, and Walker Howard, and you know, Florida's another one. They brought in Graham Mertz. Interested to see kind of how can he take a step forward with a fresh start there at Florida. A bunch of these you kind of wonder, will they shake out in the spring and maybe you see some of these players hit the portal in May if they don't win jobs?
Yeah, that's always the fear. Max, let me start at Alabama because, I mean it's hard to remember. I think it was 2015 maybe, the last time there was even a competition. We've seen competitions there, but between future NFL quarterbacks. But the last time there's been a competition when we weren't really sure how it was going to end up, and when once it ended up, what Alabama would have. I know they've got a five-star in Ty Simpson. We all saw Milroe last year. What's happening there?
Yeah, it's funny. Like Alabama's kind of the outlier of all of college football at this point to be able to go Hurts to Tua to Mac to Bryce with like all those guys staying in the program and turning into NFL players. Like, it's a pretty unreal run here, and obviously the standard is super high in terms of who's taking that spot here going forward. Certainly, like, you got a good look at Jalen Milroe last season. He had some moments, like, against Arkansas with the 77-yard run where you feel like, okay, he's a pretty different kind of athlete at the quarterback position for them, and you feel like there's some really intriguing upside in that aspect. But certainly, like, the A&M game is the one that stands out in terms of maybe the development of the passer. You just got to see a lot of improvement over this offseason if he's going to be the guy. You know, he was off target on 25% of his throws last season, according to True Media, which was one of the worst in the country among quarterbacks that threw more than 50 passes. You know, in terms of cutting down turnovers and sacks and stuff like that, like, he's just got to be ready for the pressure of this job. And Ty Simpson didn't get many reps last season, but you're very curious to see, can he make this interesting? And obviously, when you have a new OC who didn't recruit either of them, then, you know, it's very fresh eyes on the situation.
I'm not expecting this to happen, but assuming that we come out of spring in Alabama and Tommy Rees and Nick Saban are none too pleased with what they've seen, I realize you're having to speculate a lot, but could we see portal activity there?
Yeah, you wonder. I mean, it's interesting at this point that Alabama hasn't taken a transfer quarterback. I talked to some SEC schools before last season who wondered if they were probably going to when Bryce went pro. And, yeah, I'm sure, you know, obviously Tommy Rees landed Sam Hartman when he was at Notre Dame and then left to go to Alabama. I'm sure he probably wishes he had Sam Hartman. But, you know, it's hard at this point to really, like, trust that there's going to be that kind of a veteran player out there in May. There really wasn't last year. Gary Bohannon and Emory Jones were still available in May, but that was about it. So depending on how some of these other battles play out, yeah, maybe there's a veteran quarterback in that would, you know, certainly if they're looking at the market there, you'd be very interested in going to Alabama. But it's just hard to trust that that guy's going to be out there because so much of that activity happens in December, so they can be mid-year enrollees.
Max Olson with The Athletic joining us. I don't want to go down every one because you've alluded to that, but in terms of impact on not only the SEC championship but the national championship, what other battle are you watching that could make a significant impact and difference in this upcoming football season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Georgia one is really interesting because, you know, Carson Beck is really, like, we did a study a month ago or so of looking at the top 50 quarterback recruits from 2017 to 2020. And of all the guys that studied, out of 200 quarterbacks, Carson Beck was the only guy who didn't start a game in his first 3 years and hasn't transferred. I mean, he obviously knows that this job is worth the wait, and he's got a few more seasons of eligibility here. He really was patient and waiting for his turn. And I'm just fascinated to see what is his ceiling, his upside in this Georgia offense, because, you know, they've just had such steady leadership from Stetson over these past couple of years. I think that situation, how that plays out over the course of the spring, because Brock Vandegrift's a really talented quarterback, and maybe that's the kind of player that at the end of the spring, you know, if it feels like it's Beck's job, you wonder, are some of those backups going to consider, is it time for me to move on? I think that's a competition that's really interesting, and Beck is obviously the one you'd expect to be the favorite. And then Ole Miss, I mean, just could see that playing out a bunch of different ways because they brought in three really talented guys into their room.
Max, just looking at the national scene, it seems like Georgia, doesn't seem like it. I mean, Georgia will be the preseason favorite. How would you stack it after that? Because it has been relatively predictable in recent years. The only difference may be Alabama. So take us through your basic view of what the top five would look like after Georgia.
That's a great question. I mean, I think there's certainly going to be there's always optimism at this time of year about Ohio State just in terms of the pieces that they have coming back on paper. Like you're going to feel, even though they have to figure out their quarterback situation, you know, to have the best receiver in the country, Marvin Harrison, coming back and Travion Henderson, you're always going to feel like you kind of pencil them in as a playoff team just on paper. I think Michigan has a lot coming back, and especially with Blake Corum deciding to not go pro, you feel really good about the, you know, and J.J. McCarthy, you know, being the established guy, getting better over another year in that system. And they brought in a really good group of transfers this offseason as well. I think you have to feel like Michigan and Ohio State are both right there. And then, yeah, you're right. I mean, from there, you can kind of talk yourself into a bunch of other ones. Certainly Alabama on paper, you know, you lose a ton of NFL draft picks, but you feel like they're still going to reload and be okay. USC having the Heisman winner back and you know, doing what they always do now under Riley and reloading through the portal, you feel like they're going to be good. I think Penn State is another one that, like, the pieces kind of feel like they're coming together there a little bit, and could they make the Big Ten race a lot more interesting with Drew Aller, a five-star quarterback, taking over there. I think that's one that they're probably going to see quite a bit of preseason hype, and I'd probably say Florida State too belongs in that conversation just with everything they're bringing back.
Max Olson with The Athletic, many, many thanks, Max. We appreciate it. A little bit later on, we will get you ready for not only tonight but tomorrow, an epic day in college basketball. Pat Bradley will be in here. Not a whole lot going on right now. We've mentioned that. Near upset today, but it didn't happen. So today has been completely unlike yesterday in the NCAA basketball tournament. Kentucky plays tonight. We'll talk to Bradley a little bit later on about their games tonight and tomorrow. And we're coming back with your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back here on a Friday afternoon. It's been a great show. We'll update you in a few minutes on some of the finals today in the NCAA basketball tournament. No upsets. So it's everything's gone according to plan. We almost saw an upset with Kennesaw State, but they fell at the end of the game. That was the game of the day so far. Daryl is in Nashville. Hello, Daryl. You are on the air.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thanks a lot.
I was in Nashville last week for the SEC tournament, and I saw you, and I showed you my Mike Leach shirt, and you said it was beautiful.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so, I remember that.
Yeah, but it was my first time seeing you in person, and I just like to call back and say hey, and I enjoy your show. I've called in once before, but I just want to say I know Jim's been giving you a hard time, but I just wanted to say – I think you do really good coverage, even with the Brandon Miller situation. I think you stay, you know, middle of the road. And I got an hour commute to work, so I save your show to my podcast. And it helps me get to work and get back. But I just wanted to call and say I enjoy listening to you.
Well, Daryl, thanks for coming by the other day and showing me the Leach shirt. And thank you for your kind words. Let's get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. I mentioned Pat Bradley a little while later on the NCAA basketball. The game I mentioned, the Kennesaw nearly upset Xavier, which is a 3 seed. So we almost saw another big one go down. They were way down at one point. Other than that, everything has gone according to plan. There are a couple of games going on now, and we'll update you on them a little bit later on. I-Man is up next.
Well, hey there, Paul. I just wanted to say hey. Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul, how you doing, Paul? Paul, I hate it when people call in and don't talk about sports. They talk about other stuff. Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul. Paul, isn't this a caller-driven program? It's always been, as long as I've been listening to this show.
Correct.
You say the callers call in and we talk. I don't like it when they don't talk sports. You know, most of these people that say that, they don't follow but one damn team, and they watch about 30 minutes of a football game, and then they go on, they don't watch anything else. But they won't talk about sports. No, they don't. They won't talk about one damn play that an announcer talked about, and then they're going to repeat word for word what that announcer said because they know sports. You know, Paul, I've been watching some basketball here this pretty heavy the last 24 hours. How about them Auburn Tigers?
They were great last
Moving
night.
Right,
I think they've got a shot tomorrow
good.
Night.
I think so, too. And, you know, I did sneak a peek at the Alabama game, and I was watching Brandon. What's that kid's name, Miller? Miller kid? I was watching him, and you know what it reminded me of? Watching Steve Martin in the movie The Jerk. He hates these cans! He hates these cans! He's just out there running around, flopping around. Have a good day.
Tommy is up next. Tommy, can you hear me?
Yes, Paul. How are you today, sir?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I just have enjoyed the NCAA basketball tournament. The SEC has represented us well, men and women. I mean, I have really enjoyed watching the March Madness. It's been great. Everybody doing well. And the only joke I'm going to make is Alabama fan probably want Auburn to win tomorrow. But you know what? I'm going to pick two upsets since my bracket got blown the very first day by Furman. I'm going to say Auburn going to upset Houston. And I'm going to say Arkansas is going to upset Kansas. Since my bracket is shot, I'm going out there on the limb.
I like it. And by the way, Sasser from Houston said a few minutes ago in Birmingham, he's the best player on the Houston team, best player in that league. He's the one that went out of the game with a groin injury. He said he's 100%. Of course, he said he was 100% yesterday and played, even though most people think it was an egregious decision by Kelvin Sampson. Best player on your team, the key to a national championship on a team that's been one or two all year long, playing literally nobody. He shouldn't have played, and he played and was out of the game by halftime. But he says he's 100% for tomorrow. They'll need him tomorrow night. They didn't need him on Thursday. Let's continue with Greg in Mississippi. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Mr. Fall, appreciate you taking my call, buddy.
Thank you.
Wanted to give a shout out to Mississippi State Bulldogs. You know, Mr. Fall, we got two first-year coaches there, Coach Purcell and Coach Jans. I think they've done an outstanding job. And what people might not know about the women, which are feeding play here in about less than an hour, that we went through four different new coaches in 4 years. So that's a testimony to the job he's done. And Coach Jans, I think he's the right man for the job. And that's really all I have, Ms. Paul. Just want to wish the Bulldogs all the best.
Well, thank you. It has been quite a revolving door since Coach Schaefer left to go to Texas. I mean, he was such a fantastic women's coach. And Coach Jans, we had an opportunity to visit with him last week in Nashville. And I would have never dreamed that he would have them in the tournament this year. He's done a great job. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Arthur is in Houston. You're on the air. Hello, Arthur.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you today, sir?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Well, this is from antiquity. I got out of the Army in 1969, and I went to LSU. Well, I was an average middle distance runner in high school, but track and cross country coach, who was Joe May back then, put out a call for runners. He was short on the cross country team, and I didn't see why not, so I walked on and I stuck, at least on cross country. And I realized that there were perks that you got even if you didn't have a scholarship, like you got to travel, you got to eat at the training table, and if we had a meet close to a school where LSU was playing a football game, sometimes we'd get comp tickets. Well, we had a meet in Alabama, and we went to the 1970 LSU-Alabama game in Legion Field. And that was the first one of those games I'd been to, the first one of these comp ticket games. And the coaches said that we had tickets halfway up on the 50-yard line. Well, we did have tickets halfway up on the 50-yard line under the press box in the middle of a sea of Alabama season ticket holders and high rollers. And we were sitting in the middle of them, I think it was about 10 or 11 of us all together in LSU traveling gear. And I must say, those Alabamians were incredibly gracious, especially since the Tigers beat them that day. But one of the better experiences of my life. That was a great trip on a whole lot of levels. And one other thing, if you got a second?
Sure, of course.
When you watch these shows about the history of the SEC, there are always parts about, you know, integrating the schools. Well, when I was at LSU, I started in the summer of 69, graduated in May of 72. We had four black athletes on the track team, three of whom, Gene Mobley, James Epps, and Lloyd Wills, were really serious contributed a lot and were really great guys to go along with it. At a time, and during that period, I think LSU had one black football player, and in 71 or 72, they got their first black basketball player. I think the track program was a little bit ahead of the curve. But that's about it. Like I said, it was another time, and I think in some ways, not all, but in a few ways, a better one. But you take care of yourself.
I think when you do wax nostalgic, I was talking to a friend of mine 40 years today, and we were talking about something about 15, 20 years after your story, and we both said the same thing. Wasn't it great back then? But that's my parents said the same thing about when they grew up, but I think that's natural.
Well, it wasn't great in every way.
No. That's for sure.
I would never say that. But I'll give you, the best way to put it was relaxed. Charlie McClendon was the head football coach then.
Sure.
And I was not only not a football player, not on a football scholarship, but wasn't on a scholarship for anything. Well, I got hurt. I was injured before track season my freshman year. And I remember old Charlie Mack checked up on me. I'm surprised he knew who I was.
You're talking about. I lived in Louisiana his final season, and he's one of the more colorful characters that's ever coached in the SEC. Charlie McClendon, his moniker was Charlie Mack. He played for Coach Bryant at Kentucky. AJ is in Pell City, Alabama. AJ.
Sorry, Paul. I was just walking in the door. Mamas don't let your baby grow up to be Jim from Tuscaloosa. What's going on, Mr. Feinbaum?
AJ, we are doing great. Thank you for gracing us with your presence.
Well, hey, I really called about legends today. You know, it ain't too often I call about legends because there's not really much to talk about, but. What about that schedule you got? Every SEC team going to lose except Alabama.
Yeah, Legend so far has had a rough tournament as a prognosticator.
Yeah, I think he's sending Kramer on CNBC his stock picks. Trying to sell out.
Legend told Kramer 2 weeks ago to buy a bunch of regional banks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, one thing I want to say, Paul, you know, I thought about you today, and I said, you know, I bet Paul, in the morning time, I bet you, your morning routine's probably wake up and have a little half a cup of decaffeinated coffee, and then you get that inward urge, and you got to go take a gym and wipe your dusting from Tulsa. Then it's time to go to work. War Eagle, baby!
Wow. AJ dropping a bomb on everyone there, huh? Or himself, as Danny just told me. David is up next.
Hey, Paul, yesterday you mentioned the Dream Team, and I thought you were talking about lawyers. I thought you were talking about the basketball Dream Team. So I figured you probably need a 5-on-5 basketball Paul Feinbaum Dream Team of callers, and I got it if you're ready.
Let's go. I want to hear this.
Okay, so Larry's already on IR, so he's off. So Squirrel's coming in because he's feisty. But you got to calm Squirrel down, so Augie's his, like, number two guard. And then you got to have a floor general. Well, that's Legend, and he's got to be there 100%. But you got to have an enforcer to protect your floor general, kind of like a Bill Laimbeer. Well, that's going to be Jeff from Columbus. But the problem with Jeff from Columbus is that he's going to argue with the referee or even a mascot. So he's not going to play any defense. And is there anybody that's more defensive than Jim from Tuscaloosa? So Jim's going to cover down on all the defensive matters. And I realize that we're putting Jim and Legend on the same team. But if Kobe and Shaq could pair up for a championship, well, maybe they can too. And that's your blue team on the SEC Network. You ready for the gold team? I got those guys too.
Well, that was fantastic, David. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We head to the break. An hour and a half left to go on our Friday afternoon St. Patrick's edition. Your phone call's next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and we appreciate you being here as St. Patrick's Day continues. Not going anywhere. Mark L. is up next.
Hey, Paul. This is Mark L. How you doing, man?
We are doing great. Thank you, Mark L.
I just wanted to talk to you about the Auburn team this year with Hugh Freeze. How do you think they're going to do this year?
Well, I think there's going to be a dramatic improvement because Hugh Freeze is a high-level coach, and he understands the SEC. Brian Harsin may have been a good coach somewhere, but he wasn't a good coach at Auburn, and he often appeared clueless in terms of running that program. So I think Freeze will bring a lot of stability back. I think he needs a little more talent, but I think he'll turn a few games this year.
Oh, yeah, and I got another question. So TJ came back, and Robbie looks like he's improving, but do you think TJ will get the start?
We interviewed somebody the other day, and I'm not there, so I rely entirely on the reporters who cover it. But one of our friends down there told us he thought Ashford would get to start initially. I'll lean on that, and we'll have more on. We'll try to talk to Coach Freeze a little bit in a week or two, as soon as things get heated up down there. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with Mr. Winters up next. Mr. Winters, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, good. Thank you for calling us.
Yeah. I was on the NAAC.
Yes, sir.
Talking about them, Alabama.
You like Alabama to win?
Well, my team, I'm an LSU fan, but I think Alabama going to take it all.
Yeah, I think they are too. Thank you for the call. You take care of yourself and enjoy the tournament. Nate is in Maryland. Hello, Nate.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
Well, I just wanted to talk about real quick, Paul, the Georgia Bulldogs.
Okay.
Carson Beck, Paul. He's going to continue the legacy of our boy Stetson Bennett. He's going to take our dog to the national. First off, Paul, I just want to start off with saying you do such a great job with this show.
Well, thank you.
But what do you think Carson Beck is going to do for our dogs this
year?
Well,
I think he'll be the starter, and I think he could have. I think he could have started this year and won a national championship. I think he's eminently capable. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. So let's check out Larry up next. Hey, Larry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to say a word about how your father knows best. Is he talked about Notre Dame and Alabama playing the Sugar Bowl in the 70s, and he said it rained like hell. And I said, it doesn't rain in the Superdome. He said, son, the Superdome wasn't there.
Your father was correct. The Alabama-Notre Dame game, which was on New Year's Eve and 1973 was played at
74.
At the old Sugar Bowl, which was an outdoor stadium.
Yeah, and so
The Superdome came a couple of years later. The Superdome was around in the somewhere in that range, but that game was outside though.
Yes, he put me on my place. Have a good weekend.
I mean, that is one of the most famous games in college football history. It was on New Year's Eve. It was one versus two. You had two of the greatest coaches of that era, and era and Paul Bryant. And it was an epic game. Came down to the final minute of the game. And Alabama fans still talk about what went wrong. But even though Alabama lost to Notre Dame, it didn't stop Alabama from claiming a national championship that year, though, because they one of the wire service polls awarded the national championship after the regular season. Daryl is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Daryl.
Yeah, Paul, I want to talk about Brandon Miller. I mean, I follow Alabama, all their sports, all the time, and yes. on the internet and TV. I heard that he had been threatened by some opposing fan bases, and I didn't catch any of that over the internet or anything, or until yesterday or the day before. I mean, before the game and everything, I heard it being talked about.
Well, Daryl, I don't know specifically. They were concerned, and let me say this about threats. Anytime someone says something that is threatening, whether it's anonymously on the internet, a phone call, the authorities are going to take it seriously. I mean, I've seen people be threatened, and when you have a public figure like that who is in the news, so what Alabama did was the right thing. They added security around him, and let's hope nobody attempts to do anything. And I hope nobody says anything to the young man. He's dealing with a great deal. I don't know the facts of the case any more than the next person, but. I'm glad Alabama is giving him security.
Do most people think he's going to be able to score some? Because it looked like it affected his scoring in yesterday's game.
Yeah, Daryl, I know people that have had, I mean, athletes, not just, you know, weekend warriors who have tried to play with groin injuries. And the one thing that people will say that you need rest. It will go. It's a very painful thing. And what I don't understand, in two games yesterday in Birmingham, the Houston game and this game, the star player on both teams played with groin injuries against the two worst teams in the entire NCAA field, and I just don't understand that. Playing a basketball game at that level is not going to help it. 2 days rest may not make that much difference, but it will be 2 days more that you're not aggravating it, and it's a pain tolerance issue. He was clearly affected by it yesterday. We'll talk to Pat Bradley a little bit later on about what it's like to play through that and the difficulty of it. And it affects every aspect of your game. Thank you for the call. We head to the break. More of your phone calls in a moment at 855-242-7285. Pat Bradley will join us in about 30 minutes with a preview of tonight and tomorrow's games in the NCAA basketball tournament.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Augie is up next in New Orleans.
So, Paul, how are you going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
By going home.
That's it? You're not going to wear your Notre Dame green or something
I'm all for people that enjoy St. Patrick's Day. But
that's not you, right?
There is simply no Irish in me.
So, Paul, but just real quick, have you heard the one about the Irish dog?
No, tell me about it. What happened?
So back in Ireland, this guy's dog had died. So he went down to the parish church, knocks on the door. Priest comes out. He says, "Father, would you mind saying a prayer for my good friend here? My dog, he died." The priest looked at him with indignation, and he said, "Man, it's an animal. It's got no soul. Why don't you go down to the Baptist and see if they'll say a prayer for him?" He looks at the priest, and he has a little smile on his face. He says, "Oh, good father, do you think $100 donation would do?" The priest looks at him and he goes, "My God, man, why didn't you tell me the dog was Catholic?"
That's good. I
it's
like
okay.
That.
I'm Catholic, so I can say the joke.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I've got a, I mean, I'm not Catholic, but I feel like I understand it.
Hey, you know what it is? Like, you ever go in one of those bingo halls, Paul? The Catholic Church is good at throwing little events, but anyway.
No, listen, you know a little bit about me. I mean, I grew up basically with my own people and Catholics. I mean, it was that was the neighborhood.
Did, Did you ever get hit over the head with a pencil or ruler by the sisters?
I had a sister throw an eraser at me once.
And did she hit you?
I must say, I had good hand-eye coordination in the day. I saw the whole thing coming, and I sat there, and I was watching her out of the corner of my eye, and at the last second, I ducked, and it hit this other guy right between the eyes.
See, we need more discipline like that in schools. The world would be a better place. Anyway, Paul, have
but by
a
way,
happy...
We used to have the brothers would come to our house. We didn't live that far from the school, and they would... My mother was always, again, you know, you have a mother from Brooklyn. She's always cooking for somebody. So they knew where to go.
We had a family friend who was a priest. Every Sunday he would be over at our house, Sunday dinner. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he had other arrangements with other folks. But I don't think he ever paid for a meal. But we always felt blessed. And, hey, you always have to have a priest in the family, Paul. Take care.
Thank you. Speaking of being blessed, we're always blessed by the presence of Larry in Shelby, Alabama.
That's right, Jack. Y'all need to be thankful, be glad to be back, Jack. Hell yeah, man. I'm feeling good, Paul. I got it coming back, boy. I'm ready to slap some ass, man. I'm serious. Bow, bow. You know what I mean? Hey, I'll take you fishing, fine, Bob. You want to go?
Larry, I'm afraid to go fishing with you.
Why? I mean, a boat only runs about 76. Would have to take years to your head.
I just don't know if I trust you in a boat.
Come on, man, please. Just me. We'll do a video, man. Be cool.
Okay.
You know,
where do you fish?
I fish every chance I get, man. When I'm behind to go by myself, I'm not having
what lake do you go to?
Oh, Lake, man.
Okay.
Lake.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know where that is. I used to live not that far from you, Larry, as I'm sure you know.
Wow. I live down here by Eli Gold, man. Come on. We'll go see him.
Well, I lived in northern Shelby County.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You live the high rollers. Hell yeah.
Well,
you live
I wouldn't say that. I just didn't live where you live.
Yeah, you don't. You saying it, but you ain't saying it. You got a way of doing that, fine bomb. I wish I was a lawyer for Jim.
Larry, I did have a lot of. I had a friend who whose family lived. Where do they live? What was the name of this town? Chelsea?
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew that area really well. Chelsea, Wilsonville, the whole thing.
Man. Hey, check it out, dude. I live right on the water. I got a boat ramp. We got a hot tub. And I got a pontoon.
Now, Larry, when was the last time you were in that hot tub?
I don't know. It's been a long time.
I don't know why I just started thinking of a reality show. Larry's Hot Tub on YouTube.
I want a woman in there.
Now, you know, Larry, I had the decency to ask you when was the last time you were in the hot tub, not the last time you were in the hot tub with someone else.
Yeah, I ain't been there in a while, man. It's just now coming time to get in it, but it helps you back. But all the women, every time they come down a while back, they'd all get naked, man. I didn't mind. I told him, y'all can do what you want to do. Whoop, whoop.
Larry, you must have been something back in the day.
Man, we had that place jumping, Paul. Everybody getting on top of the we go pontoon riding at night, drop the anchor in 3 foot of water, and you get butt-ass naked, Jack. Woo! Drink some Bud Light, whatever you want, and swim and play around.
Oh, Larry. You're taking me back.
I can't get too sexy. Love you, man.
Larry, be careful. I mean, I think at your age and condition, Larry, even thinking about that could be hazardous to your health. Oh, man. Roy is in Louisiana. Hello, Roy. Hey, Roy.
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead.
Well, that 73 ball game you were talking about in the old Sugar Bowl.
Right.
It was Tulane Stadium, and I was there, and it had rained all day long. It was flooding the town. And Alabama came out for the start of the game. The team ran out. Bear stayed under the tunnel for a moment, and went. And about 5 minutes after the team got out on the field, Bear Bryant walked to the goalpost while they were warming up. It stopped raining.
Oh, my.
It was like everybody in the stadium got quiet. Now, it did come back and rain later and did rain during the ball game later on, but it was incredible. It had not stopped all day.
That is
Bear Bryant walked on the field, and it's.
I mean, there used to be a saying, and I believe there used to be a saying that Bear Bryant could walk on water, so he can also stop the rain. Who will stop the rain? Somebody should write a song like that one day.